90.3 KNBA, Alaska's native voice. We just heard Carrie Morin with Family Ties. That's from the Streamline album. Well, it's 10:30, and it's time for our community and events calendar. Sometimes we spice it up with some actual folks that are going to be at the events and hosting the events and a part of the events. We'll get to that a little later. We've heard earlier, you heard probably John Sebastian going to be at the Massey Theater tonight in Palmer. Looks like at the Discovery Theater tomorrow will be John Sebastian as well. Heliosequence at the Taproot today. We also have some interesting things happening a little later on in the month. The Muskox Farm and the Alaska Farmland Trust invite you to the first ever Oxtoberfest celebration at the Muskox Farm in Palmer. It's a farm-to-table event that will feature everything Alaskan grown from buns to brews. Check out muskoxfarm.org for information about that. That's Saturday, October 17th. Well, the Anchorage Concert Association also presents the return of Martha Redbone. Martha's on a full Alaska tour through October, and you can hear her perform in Anchorage today at the Discovery Theater. Ticket information and artist videos are online at anchorageconcerts.org. And like I mentioned, we do have Martha Redbone right here in the studio, as well as members of the group that are playing today. How's it going?
Hey, good to be here.
And I did mention that you're on tour, and I heard that you were in Bethel recently. And
oh, yeah.
Performing on some, I guess they have some sort of new couch venue or something.
Yeah, that was really cozy and beautiful, and part of the new cultural center, and that was really, really a special night. It was great. And we also had a music workshop for the kids in the immersion school, and so that was really great to see the children and sing songs with them and stuff. That was great.
And so, you know, one of your things that you do is you do all this kind of community outreach, and I know that you're on public radio quite a bit, and what drives that?
Well, one of the main reasons was because I realized from the very first album that we recorded, Home of the Brave, back in 2001, and just traveling around and touring, you know, whenever I talk about where you're from, people always ask you, where are you from? Where are you from? And you know, you say you're from the States. Oh, well, where are you from? You know, and I'd say, you know, well, I'm Cherokee, Shawnee, Choctaw, and African-American. What? What is that? What? Cha-chi, cha-cho, cho-cha, what? And I said, yeah, you know, I said, well, Native American. And they said, oh, Native Americans are still alive? And we had this all over the world. You know, we had it in Europe. We had it in Africa. We had it in South Africa. We have had this everywhere where not many people know about natives, and then or what they do know is just all the kind of stereotypes and phenotypes and all of these kinds of things. And so I realized that you know, we need to tell our stories the right way, and we need to keep us alive, because you know, this has now become an overflow of information, and it's like an out of sight, out of mind mentality these days, because there's so much going on in the world. So it's up to us, each one of us, to tell our own stories from our own communities and to keep our culture alive, and for other people to respect our cultures, and for us to respect other people's cultures as well. So that kind of became something that was, well, not just through the music, but was important to me my entire life. And, you know, as a kid, you know, being raised by a Native American mom, and, you know, we're from a modest coal mining family and mountain people, as they call, you know, and I got into a lot of fights having a mom that, you know, didn't fit the bill, you know, having an African American dad who wasn't around, and, you know, and this Native mom, you know, who everyone would, you know, say was Filipino or, you know, from anywhere else but from home, and then to get into a lot of fistfights about the existence of our people. So that's what kind of spurred that on.
I think that's beautiful. You know, as a mixed person myself, I think it's really something that people can really lose sight of, in that as our cultures blend, we change too, and it's like We're not necessarily just one little checkbox.
Right, right. And, I mean, when you think about it, you know, this is something that has gone on for, you know, for centuries. And, you know, in a lot of government, you know, policies of reclassification and all kinds of things like that have made us not know who we are or put us in the mindset of having to assimilate, you know, laws, you know, boarding schools, all kinds of things have forced us to, or tried to, I should say, attempted to force us to forget who we are, where we come from, and just become this homogenous, you know, American people. But it's so much deeper than that. And then also, you know, all the rules about the one drops and the mosquito bites and, you know, blood and all this kind of stuff, you know, it doesn't really change your culture when you're home, you know. And I realize, you know, even today, you know, when I talk to people, you know, people do get offended when you're asked these questions, you know, like, what are you or why do you this and I've never heard of that and all this kind of stuff. And I stopped getting offended, you know, a while ago, because I realized that people are asking questions that sound ignorant, because the word ignorant means simply not knowing. You know, they're not trying to be rude, they just don't know. And so instead of, you know, taking the attitude of being offended because someone doesn't know, you know, we shouldn't be offended because they don't know things. You know, our culture and history is being removed from schools, from the educational system, so we're being made to be invisible every day. And so it's up to us, you know, who do know, to share with the not knowing, you know. And I think that's the only way forward, is just we just have to all learn about each other and where we come from and why we are who we are. So,
and so part of that educational process might be to bring that energy that you've got with your music.
Yeah, I think music is a healer. I think it's a great source of sharing stories, of sharing cultures with each other. I love my African American roots, you know, my family. It's a huge part of me, you know, as is my Cherokee Shawnee Choctaw, you know, roots as well. They're equally as strong, and I don't discount either one. I don't really care what anybody kind of tries to classify me or whoever. But I think it's really important. It also gives a chance for children to, you know, of our culture and who are similar, like you say, from mixed backgrounds, to feel that they're not alone, you know, in this. And also I love learning about the children and what they know in these communities too. Also, you know, when, you know, 15 years ago, my buddy here, Alan A.B. Burrows on guitar, we first started out on the road, and we would be playing schools and reservations and stuff, and the kids would come. I remember we were up in Page, Arizona, and we did like a little outdoor thing. Was it Page? I can't remember, somewhere. But there were some children who were Diné, who came down, and, you know, the father was Diné and the mother was African American, and she was biracial, African American and white, and their kid was this beautiful little boy who had bright red hair, and he had very brown skin. He looked a lot like the dad, same face as the dad, but he had this bright red hair from someone's grandma or something, you know, and they were really happy to see me, and the little boy was really happy to see me talking about all cultures and being mixed and stuff. So he felt out of place in their hometown, and it kind of gave him some feeling of not being out all alone, you know. And so those are the reasons that I do what I do and kind of talk about it, and I'm not afraid to talk about it. I'm proud of it and to share it. So
that's great. And, you know, I think that there's definitely some maturity that's there. You know, that kind of an overview of how people can connect and still educate and fight ignorance. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Did you have something in mind to share?
What should we do first, guys? Well, I just want to say that I have Alan A.B. Burrows here on guitar, who I love dearly. He's been a brother to me for about 15 years, and he's from Chicago. And then here on my left, I have Zach Brock on violin, who's also a fellow Kentuckian, and he's amazing and our newbie here. So we've known him for a couple of years, and we've been working with him on and off, and we're really glad to have him away from his own solo project. So that's who's with us today. Let's do On Another Sorrow from the new album. And we chose that poem from William Blake, the British poet, because this is a 200-year-old, these are 200-year-old plus poems, and their messages are still so relevant to today. And this particular one talks about having compassion for humankind. So in the subject of what we were just discussing, I thought it would be good. Here we go. On Another Sorrow. Oh no, never can it be, never, never can it be. Oh no, never can it be, never, never can it be. Can I see in others' woe and not be in sorrow too? Can I see in others' grief and not seek for kind relief? Can I see a falling tear and not feel my sorrow share? Can a father see his child weep nor be with sorrow filled? Can a mother sit and hear an infant groan, an infant fear? Oh no, never can it be, never, never can it be. Oh no, never can it be, never, never can it be. And can he smiles and all hear the wren of sorrow small? Hear the songbird's grief and care, hear the woes that infants bear. And not sit beside the nest, pouring pity in their breast. And not sit the cradle near, weeping tear on infant's tear. And not sit both night and day, wiping all our tears away. Oh no, never can it be, never, never can it be. Oh no, never can it be, never, never can it be. He doth give his joy to all, he becomes an infant small. And he becomes a man of woe, he doth feel the sorrow too. Think not thou canst sigh a sigh and thy maker is not by. Think not thou canst weep a tear and thy maker is not near. Oh, he gives to us his joy, that our grief he may destroy. Till our grief is fled and gone, he doth sit by us and moan. Oh no, never can it be, never, never can it be. Oh no, never can it be, never, never can it be. Oh no, never can it be, never, never can it be. Oh no, never can it be, never, never can it be.
All right. Well, yeah, I felt that one. So, if you're just joining us, Martha Redbone is live in the studio at KNBA and on stage at the Discovery Theater at 7:30 tonight, sponsored by the Anchorage Concert Association. You can check out anchorageconcerts.org. You can also check out our Twitter and Facebook feeds at KNBA is where where we are. And, you know, Martha Redbone's also on Twitter right there on the Twitter feed. So, well, you know, I noticed that you have this William Blake influence, and these poems are really moving. You know, maybe just reading them, I wouldn't have felt so moved as hearing that song like that. I think that's a very powerful tool. How did you discover William Blake?
You know, it's a funny story about that. It's actually, we were working on an album project with our producer, John McEwen, from the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, most people would know him from. And we decided to make this Roots project. I call it the Roots project because it allowed me to go back and switch genres from rhythm and blues and the funk to just taking it back home. We lost a lot of elders in our community and in our family back home. And I wanted to, you know, as a musician, we do all of our healing through music and song. And I wanted to figure out a way to kind of pay homage. I hate that phrase, but it's, you know, basically honor where we come from and the sounds of the mountains. And so we decided to do this style of music, this kind of mountain folk and blues and roots and everything that has come from, you know, the influx of people and different cultures in that coal mining region of Harlan County, Kentucky, and the surrounding areas, Black Mountain, basically. And then my partner, Aaron Whitby, is the one who discovered our Blake record on our, I mean, Blake anthology book on our shelves. And he's the one who thought that maybe a couple of poems might be really cool. And so we started looking through these poems, and from the very first poem that we saw led to about going through about 150 poems, and we were inspired by, I must have pulled out at least 50 plus songs that actually spoke to me and described the mountains and the hills and also the language of Appalachia. And I imagined, you know, language that would be familiar to, you know, my grandma, my great grandma, and, you know, and I realized that this is the sound of this music and this language is something that we learned in school, you know, as a kid. It was part of the school curriculum to learn this style of music when I was a kid down there. And then, of course, in my mom's generation and my grandmother and my great-grandmother and so on. And so we thought it would be a really cool idea to do that. And then again, the poetry is, like I said, he wrote it over 200 years ago. And, you know, back then we were in a time of war somewhere, and here we are today, you know, 2015, the same mentality. You know, we're all still striving to learn how to get along with each other in the world, how to understand each other, have compassion for each other, how to the call for the healing of the earth. This is something that he was writing, William Blake was writing about, you know, back in 1760s. You know, he's writing about a call for the healing of the earth. And that spoke to me so loudly. And here we are today. We're seeing the effects of this 200 years later. And so I wanted to sing this, and I felt to read it, yes, is really difficult. And then, but when you put things to songs and these melodies, all of a sudden everything started making sense to me. So I ended up kind of going back and reading a lot of his work and really having a better understanding of it. And people in audiences have told me that the same too, because we all had it in school, had to study it in school, and you just learn enough to take the test and move on. So, but this is a pretty fun project.
And do you have something else you have picked out that we should?
Yeah, let's do, we'll do the title track, The Garden of Love.
I lay me down upon
weeping, weeping. Then I went to the heath and the wild, to the thistles and thorns of the way, and they told me how they were beguiled, driven out and compelled to be chased. I went to the garden of love and saw what I never had seen. A chapel was built in the midst, where I used to play on the green. And the gate of this chapel was shut, and thou shalt not prick on the door. So I turned to the garden of love, so many sweet flowers bore. Joys and desires.
KNVA, Alaska's Native Voice. You're listening to the Indigenous Music Hour, and we just heard Martha Redbone live in the studio with the Garden of Love. Martha's right here at the studio right now and on stage at the Discovery Theater at 7:30 tonight. Check out the website anchorageconcerts.org for ticket information and more information about Martha Redbone. But since you're here, well, why don't you tell us a little bit more about how you folks got connected and where you got your start?
Yeah, well, met Alan about 15 years ago in New York. He's from Chicago, but he was living in New York at the time. And another friend of ours who happened to be from Chicago told us about this amazing guitarist. And we had a show, and he came. We had like a little jam, and then he came to that, and then after that, he played our next show with us, and the rest is history. And we've been everywhere. We've been all over the world. Been around the world. Yeah, we've been everywhere. And what I love about this wonderful pick of musicians in our band are that we all, with the exception of Aaron, but and he's I can say the same thing about him too, even being from London, England. We all came from the Midwest, and when you're from the Midwest, you know, back in the day, there was pretty much like one radio station for each county or region, and you got to listen to a wide range of music in all different styles. So we're all kind of, you know, we're all-rounders in that respect. We know blues, we know country, we know funk, we know rock. You know, we had it all as kids. And so we can kind of adapt to everything. We're not purists in that way, you know. And so it was really, for me, it was a real blessing to be able to switch genres, say, so to speak, and make this kind of folky type of album and still have the same guys playing it. And, you know, we put our spin on it, but it still feels like me, and it still feels soulful and has all of those things. And with Zach, we met Zach in Calgary. We were performing at the Calgary Folk Festival, and that was also a wonderful festival because we got the chance to do a workshop with Buffy St. Marie, who is one of my sheroes, you know. I'm a singer today. She's one of the reasons I'm a singer today. But Zach was playing with another band there, and we heard him and loved their band and stuff, and we stole him. Or I should say borrowed him, you know.
I like stole.
He likes stole. But we try to steal him whenever we can, and he just has such a beautiful sound. And as I said, he's also from Lexington, Kentucky, and he's been playing his whole life. He comes from a whole, you know, folk family, playing family, so... Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And lived in Chicago for 13 years, too.
And lived in Chicago, so...
Double connection.
That's right. I know we were on a gig together at least once. We just can't remember where.
Yeah. You're probably mad at me for some reason.
You probably took all the fire solos.
I don't know. Maybe all the G&Ts.
Yeah. So that's our little story, And I didn't realize it. For me, I love, this is why I always try to tell kids, you know, that it's so important to do something that you really love, you know, and try to earn a living from something that you truly, truly love to do all the time, because it doesn't really feel like work, and it certainly doesn't feel like 15 years together. It just, everything is new and fresh, and we have a blast. It feels like you're just traveling with family and having a really good time, making something really special. And we're so thankful for, you know, being an independent artist. We're especially thankful for people who give time to support music that they don't normally hear on, you know, when you turn the TV on, or, you know, as I always say, music that, you know, doesn't require that I have to, you know, show you my cleavage or twerk for you. So it's pretty nice to just have some real music and people enjoy that, you know. So, yeah.
So kind of music that you turn your brain on for, too.
Yeah, or just tells a story. I mean, I think there's all types of music for all reasons. I mean, you know, when I go out, if you want to have a dance or whatever, that's fine, too. That's, you know, there's no worry about that. But I just think I just admire people who are willing to take a chance and be brave and check out live music. The live music scene is so special. You really meet some gems and hear some amazing music that you may have never heard before and would have never heard because of all the stuff that goes, you know, with the channels to get to the kind of, you know, big time, so to speak, you know. So I'm really thankful for the loyalty from people and for you guys too.
Well, we thank you for coming on the station. You're listening to 90.3 KNBA, the Indigenous Music Hour. And I'd like to remind folks that you can hear Martha on stage at the Discovery Theater at 7:30 tonight. So is there anything you want to share just to get us for the last couple of minutes here?
Yeah, so tonight is Anchorage, tomorrow, and then we head to Fairbanks. And then after Fairbanks, we go to Cordova, and then Skagway and Haines. And we have our schedule on our website, and we're also like posting kind of daily stuff all over, you know, social media, and we're having a lot of fun with that. Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you very much for coming to the studio, and thank you very much for lending your voice to our airwaves once again. And it's always a pleasure to see you when you come into town.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
And you listen to 90.3 KNBA, Alaska's native voice. Coming up next, we'll have the NPR newscast at 1 minute after the hour. And you can always tune in to the Indigenous Music Hour Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 10 o'clock right here on 90.3 KNBA, where Indigenous music matters.